In order, Chris, would you take the roll, please?
Council President Cardoza.
Here.
Councilmember Jones.
Here.
Councilmember Boobin Vonderhaar.
Here.
Councilmember McPherson.
Here.
Mayor Steer.
Here. If you will join me for the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. You may be seated. Welcome, Chief. First item on the agenda is the consent agenda. Anyone have any?
The only consent agenda I have is I want everybody to know Mom dressed me and my brother alike this morning.
Tell Mom thank you.
So noted.
I move we approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to approve the consent agenda as presented. Chris, would you poll the council?
Council President Cardoza.
Yes.
Councilmember Jones.
Yes.
Councilmember Boobin Vonderhaar.
Yes.
Councilmember McPherson.
Yes.
Thank you. Next item on the agenda is a commingled recycling survey. Chad Gordon with J&M Sanitation. We're just kidding. You could have a whole 30 seconds if you want.
Well, 30 seconds? No, 30 minutes. Dang. Mayor, council members, for the record, Chad Gordon, J&M Sanitation, 688 Swan Falls Road. This is just a kind of recap of what we've been talking about in regards to the commingled. We got all the survey responses back, and to kind of finalize it and get the rates created for the service. So I'm sure as you guys had a chance to look, we had a really resounding response in regards to the commingling. I think we were, let me get to the second page here, or third page. I think we were at 94.7% responded yes that they would like to see commingled recycling. 87.51% said yes they would be willing to pay the extra $2 a month. But then if you actually get down to the part where they request a cart, I think it jumped back up to 89.88% of the people that took the survey responded with ordering either one cart, two carts, three carts, four carts. So it really was a very good response in regards to it. With that said, we have purchased 3,500 carts. I currently have them sitting in the yard ready to go. And it's just a matter of finalizing the rate for this, which is going to be the $2 a month. And it'll be the same for commercial or residential. We had to create two different rates just so there was kind of a distinction there for later on if we decide to have other recycling rates for commercial-based applications. With that said, I also handed out to you guys kind of the paperwork that we will be putting out with the trash cans. Just the guidelines talking about what we take, how to put it in there, when to put it out. All pretty basic stuff. It's going to be the same items that we've currently been taking in our current recycling program. They just get to throw it all in there together and they don't have to sort anything out, so hopefully it'll be a lot easier. It will be the bi-weekly service, A and B routes. On the underside of each lid, we will place a sticker, a colored sticker. It'll either be red or yellow. That'll define as to whether or not they're an A week or a B week. We'll give them that information when we hand the cans out, initially saying you are an A week, you are a B week. This is going to be posted on the city website also, so they can go to look up what their, you know, which pickup day they're going to be by correlating it to the color on the calendar. Pretty simple, hopefully. The last page, the diagram, is actually what's on top of the lid of the trash cans. So hopefully that will give them plenty of information as far as what items to put in there, what items not to. Also give them the website for, and actually the one I may have said, had the wrong website. It was an older one. But for the city of Canada, that's the correct one that's on there, and then also our phone number. So hopefully it'll be pretty self-explanatory. I'm sure we'll have a couple of steps here and there. Currently, I've got close to 1,000 people that have said they do want the cart, or at least one cart. And then out of the responses that we got about 800 responses that we're currently recycling. The last count we did was 1,600. So I figure we're going to have at least another 1,000 that come in as we start. And we're going to start that process here within the next week. My driver is going to currently tag everybody that is participating, letting them know we're changing over to this process. If you want to order a cart, you need to get that order in so we can get them out to you.
And just to clarify, is that tag going to say if you already ordered through the survey, you don't need to?
Yes.
Or okay.
Yep. I did clarify that on there. So we're going to get duplication there. So any questions?
So it looks like, according to this, we're hoping to roll this out the first week of September?
Yes, that is the plan. September 4th would be, because of the holiday, September 4th would be the first pickup day. That'll be the A week, and then the following week would be the B week.
Okay. And then clamshells, like produce clamshells, are those? I didn't see it listed either in the yes or no. So I was just curious. I don't think you guys take them right now, but I just wasn't sure.
And you're talking like the stuff that you might take, like something home from a restaurant and it's the harder plastic?
No, like, do you ever, like, if you shop at Costco, like, they'll package their apples in one of those,
or
like grapes? Yeah, yeah, anything.
Those we can actually take. We do currently take them now.
Oh, okay.
It gets, trying to get all the pieces
that
you actually take in there is a little difficult, but hopefully, you know, people will call in if they have some questions like that. It's pretty basically plastics number 1 through 7, anything that's a hard plastic.
Okay.
We just can't take plastic bags, plastic film, plastic wrap. All that stuff gets caught up in the balers at the recycling center and causes them a lot of headaches.
No problem.
Other than that, you know, anything 1 through 7 in the plastics we can take.
Okay. And we can definitely put, like, a, as if questions come in about specific items, I would think we could easily do like a, put it on the city's website if that's the easiest spot or whatever. So then when they go to look.
And I mean, you know, any questions they have. And in the process of getting these carts out, I have told the gals here in the office to go ahead and refer any of the recycling stuff to us for the meantime so we can get this initial push taken care of. And then after that, we'll just take the orders with the regular service orders to the city.
Cool. Thank you.
Very good. And we need to do a publish and resolution for the fee, or can we just...
Mayor, that's already been prepared and out for publication, so it'll come up after its publication.
Awesome. Thank you. Okay. Any other questions for Chad?
Thanks, Chad.
We'll expect to see the carts out here by the first part of September, and I'll have a great lid on them.
Good. I think everybody's excited about it, so that's good.
A lot of good responses. So, and I'll get stuff out on Facebook also about it.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Let's see, the next item is 7A, a discussion on council direction on shutting down the City Hall parking lot during CUNA Days, Chris Engels.
Good evening, Council. As you may recall, we're having two special events occurring in the parking lot during CUNA Days, as well as the city has the Down and Dirty in the back. So we have staff that will be working during CUNA Days. And just wanted to see if you would be all right if we close the parking lot for additional parking and save the parking on the west side for employee parking during CUNA Days so that they're not trying to, staff isn't trying to park in all different places and hike in so that we're here where we need to be. So, stand for any questions?
Do you think it would be feasible to, instead of closing the whole parking lot, to just, like, reserve individual spaces for staff?
We could try. That'll be the only parking that's available. During CUNA Days, vendors will be on this side. Farmers Market will be in the north section, and Flea Market is in center section and south section. How many parking spaces are on the west side there?
I think there's 5 down here, and then there's at least 8.
I think there's actually closer to 15, if I recall correctly. Sorry, I should have that answer.
My biggest concern is, you know, we're double stacking events in our parking lot, and then expecting other surrounding, like, businesses to just let people park there to be able to attend things in our parking lot. And I'm just worried about, number one, just for people who are coming to the things that are going on in our parking lot, I've expressed that before as a concern, like, are we forcing this problem onto somebody else and making them be the bad guy if needed. But then secondly, I guess where are we expecting people to park if they want to go to any of this stuff?
Well, CUNA Days in general is a tough one on parking, but when there is a an event in the parking lot, so we have a flea market, we've had another event that used the parking lot, we have them communicate with the surrounding, like the school district and Sandstone, and, you know, to talk about parking, and we always keep that site open, but typically that's not for customer parking, that's for Greenbelt access. We usually reserve the west side for Greenbelt parking. So the customers use street parking, or they make arrangements with the neighboring parking lots, and they have to have a letter of agreement from the property owner. They can't just say it's okay.
Yeah, I still feel really uncomfortable about that, just because we're making the other property owners be the bad guy.
Sure.
And so, I mean, I understand the concern of staff not being able to, you know, get in a convenient manner in order to do some of the stuff they need to do for the weekend. But I guess that's just my biggest concern.
Yeah.
What do other people think?
I think I have a better answer. I just looked on Google Earth. It looks like there's about 18 spots on that site.
Okay.
So I know staff-wise we have, Bobby, you have what, 6, 8? So we have 1, 2, 3 staff and volunteers for that day, I think, is, I want to say 9 or 10.
Vehicles or people or?
Vehicles.
I mean, are people going to be coming and going, pretty quickly where they need their car to be nearby? Just because, normally, I think businesses have their employees park in the less convenient spaces to reserve the most convenient spaces for the patrons. And so
sure.
If there's not, a need to get to the vehicles repeatedly throughout the day, then maybe it would work better for us to, see about parking at the school or something like that.
Sure. We can definitely do that. We'll let our volunteers know if they want a spot in the parking lot, because it'll just be this west side. Can they park there even though that's Greenbelt's parking, or should we have them find alternate also? Or?
Well, I mean, I don't want to be the dictator here. I'm wondering what other people think, too.
I guess when she first brought up the idea, I thought it was probably okay. This is kind of an extreme circumstance with CUNA Days. It's not a normal thing, so most of the activity is, it's just that staff has to be able to bring in and unload and load stuff and that type of thing. That's kind of why I didn't think it would be a big deal, but we can certainly do whatever.
I had a discussion with Chris earlier about this. Being the one day, which I don't necessarily have an issue with it, because I think the staff having to be on site that day, I think it would be a little different if our own city staff wasn't here, then I'd probably have a little different concern. So I don't have a problem for the one day. I think that CUNA Days takes some of the other parking lot when they do their event, too, so that parking lot is somewhat limited, too. So I think fairness, but to be consistent between the two, I don't have an issue with it for one day, being a staff that wants to use it and not just patrons or vendors and that type of thing. So. But I definitely understand your concern, because it is going to create, with the other event here, it is going to create more traffic than normal over here. But I don't know how to resolve. I mean, only option I could maybe throw out there would be the if Sandstone would let the backside of where the around that corner, if there was enough spaces over there, if they can block off that backside of an option. But I don't know, because that's somewhat walkable from here, because that's just right there. So I don't know if that's, but then that would require permission from the private property owners.
I think we're, you know, I mean, we're fine to leave it open for Greenbelt users. I'm sure it'll get filled fairly quickly with parade watchers first thing in the morning. But, I mean, we're fine with that. It's not, you know, nobody's traumatized by grabbing a parking spot somewhere else. Mostly, you know, staff would be in at 9. Some of the staff would be in around 9. Others are in much earlier. Then we vacate out. I might ask, though, if I can just hold a few parking spaces for our volunteers so that they're just volunteering their time. They're not, you know, they don't work for the city, so maybe hold a couple spots for them just so that they can.
So you previously said like 9 or 10 cars, you think?
I think so.
Yeah. So I'm just wondering, I mean, what do you think it would be feasible to, I'm not sure exactly how we were planning to, like, enforce the no parking thing, if it's just like a single barricade or something, but could we put that, if we think we only need half the spaces rather than block the whole parking lot and then there's like, you know, 9 spaces and people are pissed because then they can't get to them, but clearly they're empty, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Would there be a way we could just move the barricade farther into the parking lot so we would be saving half of the spaces for what we actually need and then the other ones would be?
Yeah, I mean, we're fine with that. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think that'd be hard to do.
Okay. What does everybody else think?
I like that idea.
Yeah, I'm good with that.
Okay.
Okay.
We'll plan for that then. Thank you.
Thank you. And consideration to approve resolution number R57-2017, authorizing mayor to sign the JUB contract for conflict engineering support services. The resolution of the City Council of Kuna, Idaho, authorizing the mayor to sign the contract with JUB Engineering Incorporated to provide conflict contract engineering support services to the City of Kuna, Idaho. So this is the one we were talking about last time where we have Keller that actually does some projects within the city, and they obviously can't sign off on their own engineering projects, so that gives us two to choose from. So if one's doing something, the other one can sign on it.
I move we approve resolution R57-2017.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to approve resolution number R57-2017. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. And then that's all we had on the agenda for tonight. Is there any announcements council would like to make?
I had a quick question, discussion item thing that I hope to be pretty fast. So I was looking at the community's agenda that the chamber put out, and I saw the fireworks thing, and it just says, like, sponsored by Idaho Credit. And we're listed as, like, an overall sponsor, but I guess I just wanted to get clarification from everybody about what our expectations were. My assumption had always been, I guess, that if we were donating money exclusively to fireworks, that that would be where we would be acknowledged, because I think we've talked extensively about why we're making that donation and to fireworks specifically versus making a donation to kind of the event as a whole, if that makes sense. So I just wanted to get other people's thoughts since it's in the budget again for next year. What we were expecting to see on their stuff so we can make sure that everybody's on the same page for next time.
Honestly, I hadn't given that a lot of thought, but I appreciate that you bring that up. I don't know, how does everybody feel about that?
I'll comment. I guess what needs to be distinguished, and I'll go back, let's go back, you know, 10 years. I've been somewhat involved communities for 10 years. I know the city previously, before the recession, paid for all the fireworks. I think even one year, I think somewhere around 2008, 2009, they donated $10,000. The fireworks costs $10,000 to do. The city donated $2,500. Just for the record, ICCU donated $5,000 this year. I wasn't involved in the discussions regarding sponsorships and stuff. I think that I agree with what Brianna is saying, that you know, is it a donation or is it a sponsorship? I do think there's a difference between the two. I think moving forward, that needs to be deciphered out if that is going to be a stipulation of that donation to them. I know the money is greatly appreciated, I will say that. I know that nothing has been done less than what's been done the prior years. I think that a change in the situation this year has created the discussion that needs to be taking place. So I have no problem either way. But I think if we need to define that, I also think at that point maybe we should actually have them come in and request that money too, so we can make sure they are aware of what the money is for and what the city expects in return, if that's where we're going to be. I have some other, you know, as a citizen and a taxpayer, and I know my opinion, it will be different than probably the rest of you up here, but I think the money that is given out of the city coffers is taxpayer money. It's not the city's money. So where do you provide that recognition? Do you provide it to the taxpayers? Do you provide that to the council members who vote for the budget? I don't know. I mean, it's a huge dilemma or a discussion that needs to be taking place of how that transpires. But if the council or the mayor wishes to have something changed, I have no problem changing to whatever that is decided.
I think it's kind of always been felt that that's an appropriate thing to give money to, just because it provides entertainment for so many people. But I think the majority of the citizens get a benefit from that. As far as whether we're sponsors or donors and donuts. Are we donuts? I don't know.
Free donuts.
Sponsors or donors, that type of thing. I really hadn't given that much thought, so I'm not sure how we would prefer to be recognized for that, if at all.
My recollection from some years ago was when we were having discussions about do we want to make a donation and how much and that sort of thing, at least in my mind, the litmus test, and I think one of the things that I discussed at that point was, is it an event that's open to everybody and that a lot of people would end up getting to avail themselves of that entertainment? So it's kind of the same logic that I used when we decided we were going to fund the Easter egg hunt, that kind of thing. Is it something that's open to everybody and lots of people go to it, so you get, pun intended, the most bang for your buck? Thank you for the courtesy laugh. So I feel like I remember, but I could be wrong, that at least in some discussion in the past, the distinction was important, that we were giving money towards the fireworks specifically and not, like, CUNA Days as a whole. I certainly think it's evolved. CUNA Days as an event has evolved, where I think there's more of an argument that CUNA Days as a whole has a benefit to the city, versus it being more about, like, these vendors that come in from out of town and that they get the most benefit from it. So I don't necessarily have the same types of objections that I might have had in years past, but I mean, if all we're giving money is fireworks, if all we're giving money to is fireworks, should we be acknowledged as like a sponsor of the whole thing? Because technically we're not.
Yeah, I think that makes good sense. I think we should just be recognized for the part that we're doing, if at all.
And I would be, I mean, I know that Idaho Central is a sponsor this year, and they gave twice as much money as we did. I don't know, like, if technically they gave twice as much money as we did, in the sense that we always make sure to cut our check prior to the end of the calendar year so they can get more fire, so da-da-da-da. But I would be fine with if the chamber has, like, semantics they want to use to parse it out, where it's, like, officially sponsored by whoever's willing to give, you know, $5,000, and then it's, I don't know, that we're like a second line sponsor or with assistance from, or, you know, I don't have real strong opinions on how that's worded, but.
Yeah, and that would probably be good. We would probably just want to, when we approve that and write that check for the chamber, just make sure that they understand the parameters that we request when they're posting that out there.
Does anybody else have thoughts?
I'm just wondering if the appreciation shouldn't be rather to the city of Kuna, but the taxpayers of Kuna who actually pay for that money into the general. I guess what I'm saying is, should the somehow it be worded that the community was the donator of the money through the city somehow to acknowledge the
just an acknowledgement thanking the citizens for
as an acknowledgement even though the city gives it is taxpayers' money that should be acknowledged. So
sounds like it's a language thing Richard needs to work on. We're all in agreement, it's just how we word it. You're welcome.
Okay, anything further on that?
I've got one question, Mayor.
Yes, go ahead.
Today in my travels into Oregon and back, I went through four small communities. Every community I went through had a sign, welcome to Nyssa, welcome to Adrian. I know we've talked about it in the past. I wonder if we shouldn't have a sign out, welcome, especially on the highway up there, welcome to Kuna as you're coming down the hill, a nice wood sign. Every community I went through today, be it the size of Kuna, or actually smaller than Kuna, every one of them had a sign, welcome to, you know, our city. I think it would be a nice touch for Kuna, and the cost would be minimum. Maybe an Eagle Scout or something could do that as a project and have a nice sign on the Meridian Highway.
We do have, don't we have, there's a welcome...
Yeah, just
Rock.
Beyond the Grange.
Yeah.
On the corner.
I was thinking further on down, though, where it's coming down the Meridian Highway. It's just something that I noticed going into all these little communities that kind of a little welcome sign. I thought it was a nice touch. So
would you have that just on Meridian Road, or would we need to put it, like, on all major roads when they hit city limits, or what's...
It would be nice to have it on 10 Mile as you're coming down the boulevard there off of Boise Avenue. And then one coming in on Avalon. And then one maybe down before you hit the Deer Flat.
Then it would be a matter on the highway if ITD would allow us to do that.
Well, if it's back on private property, if we could get a private property to allow us to do it. So I just thought it was a nice touch in my travels today.
I would hope that ITD would possibly allow an island to be built in the middle of the road, if there's never any intent of putting something. I just said hope. So, but yeah, I know where that, I know that might be something I'll never see. But.
Okay.
As you could see, mother loved him better. He got the better shirt.
That happens. Okay. Does anybody have anything else?
One more
Thanks
question,
Scouts
John.
For coming out tonight.
Cardoza has
Appreciate
something
that.
Else.
John, are you ready for Canada Days?
We are ready.
We are ready. All right. First Canada Days, huh?
Yeah, did you want to? Yeah, if you want, just come up to the microphone up here. Go ahead, you can just say your name. And
my name is Max. I'm 9 years old.
Don't be afraid of us. We're just regular people sitting up there. You talked to me the other day. Just go right after it.
And today I'm going to do a presentation.
Okay. Okay.
This is Caitlin. Age 12, she committed suicide in Georgia live on Facebook. This is Michaela. She was 14 and she committed suicide.
Very good. You did that well.
And we've been making these bundles and selling them. What we've done most of the time is just awareness.
And now we let you know that the goal is, Idaho is 6th for suicide in the nation. My daughter tried to commit suicide 2 years ago. And I actually have been the one really working heavily with our homeless situation since 2013 video. Everyone will see that, but it's not okay. And we lost 632 people in Utah, with the like one state, and 40% were children age 11, 17. And in Idaho, between age 14 and 17, our children, the highest death is because of suicide. So these, we started it just called Kids Truth. It's not a nonprofit organization. And these two pictures, I just figured in my heart, I've met with Senator Rubio, and I've lived a borderline child, and I've worked with the Atlantic Falconist in Atlanta, and I was in Atlanta when that happened, in Florida. And so I just wanted to make it a goal to make sure that everyone knows that these two kids committed suicide on Facebook Live, and Max stood up and said, well, it's not okay that kids are not okay. And so from that point on, his goal was to have enough posters for every person in Cuba and anyone who's a child and who's a child, that they're able to have the honor of being able to know that. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Max. Thank you, guys. Thank you.
There.
Thank you so much. Thanks, guys.
All right. Well, thanks, everybody, for coming tonight, and meeting adjourned.